I think one of the greatest gifts God has given us is our ability to use our minds for imagination, to imagine, to picture things in our mind, even though they're not present to us. Think about that. In many ways, memories are simply the function of imagination. I think of something from the past, and even though it's not here in front of me, I'm able to picture it in my mind. I think about when my two brothers and I were little boys, and we'd spend summers with our grandparents in Wyoming at a little farm, a little ranch. And I can make that quite real to me, even though we're about as far away from that reality as we could be today. I can imagine it. I can picture it. We can picture things in the present, things that aren't right here with us right now. I like when I pray for someone says, "Father, will you say a prayer?" I always ask them what their first name is so that I have a little bit of an image. And then when I sit down to pray, I try to picture that person as best I can remember that person. It makes them a little bit more present to me through my imagination. Or imagination can be important as we anticipate the future. Younger people, maybe especially, as they anticipate fundamental choices about what they want to do or study or be, whether to get married or get married to that person. Maybe as we get older, decisions about whether or not we should sell our house and move into something smaller. Very important in the decision-making process is the ability to imagine what that new reality would look like, and not only look like, but feel like. Does it leave me feeling satisfied? Does it leave me feeling scared? Does it leave me feeling released from a burden? Does it leave me feeling just kind of over the moon that this woman would marry me? Imagination, important. The ability to picture things in our mind. Well, I'd like you for just a second to do a bit of an imagination exercise today. And it's around today's gospel, which in many ways is about, well, what's the meaning of riches and poverty and wealth? But I think even more fundamentally, it's about what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Jesus, in his encounter with this young man, says, after he says, well, go give away what's burdening you. Don't be held back by something that you possess. Because in more modern jargon, we all know that experience of being possessed by the very things that we supposedly possess. Sometimes things, biases, whatever it is, possess us rather than we possess them. He says, okay, let go of them, and then, and here's the key phrase, follow me. So I ask you, what do you picture in your mind? Put yourself into that scene. Put yourself into Jesus talking to this young man and him saying, follow me. What does following Jesus look like? What do you picture? Well, maybe your picture comes from the human experience of one person following another along a path. One person is ahead and kind of sets the direction, the other person dutifully following. It's a pretty good image for what we mean by following Jesus. He's the one who sets the right course in front of us. The challenge is us for to stay on the path, which Scripture reminds us at times is very narrow. But he's the pace setter. He's going to show us what we need to, where we need to go and how we need to be. That's one image of following. But you know, it's a little bit like also the same image of a dog following its master, right? The master up ahead, the dog behind. Not a bad image, but I think there's another one. Now, you probably have to be of a certain age to appreciate this, because it comes from the world of dancing. And it's kind of a method of dancing that maybe isn't quite so popular nowadays. I don't know. It's been decades since I've danced, right? But at least in kind of classic dancing, we talk about one person leading and the other person following. Now put that picture in your mind. Not the picture of a dog or a person following another person, which is one type of following, but now picture, imagine, two people dancing. And you know, if you've ever been skilled at that, I never was, but if you're really skilled at that, or you watch two people who are skilled at that kind of dancing, you would never really know that one is kind of setting the steps and the other person is like a millisecond behind. You wouldn't really know it because they're so good together that the person who follows comes to know the mind of the other person so perfectly that it's like perfect synchronization. I like that image for what it means to follow Jesus. You and I are called not only to look at his back as he leads down the path in front of us, but even more importantly, we are called to look into his eyes, to come to know his mind and to come to know his heart, to look at him, to look at his life. And that is so important that we literally can spend the whole of our lives as faithful Christians coming to know better the vision and the values of Jesus Christ. To really come to know what he stands for and why he can say something kind of outrageous as he does in today's gospel about, well, basically what you need to do with wealth is just give it all away. In a cultural situation of the Jewish times where wealth was a sign of God's favor. That's why they keep being astonished and amazed. He's totally turning on its head how people would judge whether or not they were in good shape before God. To come to know Jesus Christ like one dance partner knows the other, to look into his eyes and to come as know to know his mind, or as St. Paul tells us, to come to know his mind and his heart. That's the goal of us who are called to follow Jesus Christ, to be his disciples. Because after that, all the decisions follow. Because you know what? Wealth is of itself valueless. Meaning what? At times it can be a wonderfully positive thing that enables us to do very important things. And at other times it can be just a burden that makes us focus in on ourselves and our own supposed needs and drags us down and creates a kind of poverty with spiritually, which clearly is the playground of the devil. How do we know the difference? We keep needing to bring the mind and the heart of Jesus Christ to everything that we do. Let's pray for that this day. That we will follow Christ, like the young man is called to follow Christ, like people have been called through the centuries to follow Christ. Yes, as the one who sets the way, but also as the one who invites us to really get to know his mind and his heart. Because that's the mind and the heart that you and I are also supposed to have. And then we will go about making the right decisions about love. Because that's really what it's about.